If you've ever wondered whether you're to tithe pre-tax or post-tax, stick around as we discuss giving in today's Dive Deep. Welcome to CWC Dive Deep. We are grateful that you've decided to join us today as we take a deeper look into this past week's sermon and explore what it means to pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Arlie. Welcome, Pastor Arlie.
Hey, thanks, Caleb. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. And as we look into the second part of our selection of giving from Malachi, I'm curious, what were your takeaways? What were some thoughts you had as you prepared for this week and also for the last week?
Wow, there was so much information. Obviously, you know, understanding giving, like you could go on. I know I've done a 6 to 8 week kind of time on that before. And in doing it that way, I think God really spoke to a lot of people in regard to it. I think that was one of the pieces where it seemed like our giving in our own local congregation just exploded. But there's so many things that are happening in our culture that are different. I mean, part of it is I think there's not the high regard for scripture that there was at one time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I even read something by on a post recently that somebody said that they believe Christians worship the Bible more than God. And I was really disturbed by that because I really felt like, I don't, like, so the God you define is the one you worship. Mm-hmm. Where the God I worship is the one he defined himself.
Right.
So, you know, I guess I really struggle with that perspective and how it's happening in our, probably in our millennial culture that that's mostly what I was.
So relativistic. Yeah.
Yeah. I was hearing, but probably one of the things I was fascinated by was the standards of giving that are happening in our culture right at present. And I didn't have time to share all this cause there was so much that was there, but people who tithe 8 out of 10 have zero credit card debt.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Huh.
You start to think about this and you start to think, so people who tithe are more cautious or
maybe just more mindful.
Has God helped them to be more aware of their spending and what's happening? Is he filling up those holes that are, you know, a part of their, you know, financial journey? But I thought that was pretty cool.
That's really interesting. It's not a statistic I've heard before.
Religious giving is down 50%.
Okay.
On
the flip side.
on the average, Christians give 2.5% of their income. Not 10.
Yep. I've heard that.
And which is also, you know, been talked about. I think that there were other things, like when people attend church more often, they give more often, which is okay, that makes sense. It's probably, I mean, unless they give online.
Right.
For us who give online, our money shows up for Sharon and I,
right?
Whether we do or not.
but your church attendance record's pretty good.
Thanks. So, thanks. We've been trying hard. It's that Sharon. It's just hard. But I thought probably this was really like one of those pieces that also I find fascinating. So I wonder what's going to happen in the church in the future.
Yeah.
But it said the greatest generation, which is people like in their 90s, the silent generation, people that are like in their late 70s and 80s, the boomers, which are people that are probably mid to late 50s and beyond, give 78.8% of the giving that comes into the church.
Wow.
So
that means...
So that means the people under 55... have to give almost 21-22%.
Way to go, millennials. Because we make up the bulk of that.
You do. This is something you have to carry.
Oh, my goodness. You know, now that you mention that, though, that is something that really doesn't surprise me as much. I read an article one time that said that millennials are more apt to give to nonprofit or parachurch organizations where they can see their money go directly to what they believe in. I thought that was interesting.
It was also in this article that I'm referring to also that they had said the same. They're more prone to give. However, the percentage is still low.
Right, yeah.
I mean, even those who do, mm-hmm. it's not like at that full level.
Yeah, and also this isn't representative of CWC, obviously. I mean, this is
actually we're very high.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You guys all do a great job.
We do, like we see that like on a regular basis and mm-hmm. comparatively person to person, when we do per capita giving as they kind of do the average, we score in the very upper levels.
Yeah.
So I know that we have a lot of really faithful people.
Yeah, but still interesting for the Church of the Future.
Yeah. When you start to look at some of those things and you start to see those percentages, it's mm-hmm. like, so what's going to happen in the future when we look at that? And so what is the future of the church and of giving?
Well, and especially, I mean, it's almost like a return to what was happening in Malachi. They were cheating God of what was to be offered to him, what was to be given to him. And in Malachi, it talks about how they were under a curse. Mm-hmm. Because of their choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, can you explain what is this curse and is it still applicable today?
One of the things that God says in this particular passage, and I think this is relevant and important, mm-hmm. he says, I, the Lord, do not change. Mm. Who I am, that's who I always will be. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain aspect of who God is, as we see in the Old Testament, that it's still who God is in the New Testament. So mm-hmm. in that sense, we're still serving the same God. To understand curse, I mean, I'm a little reluctant to kind of use that specific word, but okay. to say that the blessing of God comes on those who choose to tithe, I'm real comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And with those who choose not to withhold. And could I say, if I were going to rob from anybody, like if I had a list of those who I would like least likely to rob from, I think God would be at the top of my list.
Right.
He would be the one I would like, okay, no. He sees all, knows all. Yeah. I think that's not a good idea.
Right.
I think that in understanding that whole thing about curse, the curse that he talks about at this point is they won't be able to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. Things won't work. Things won't happen. Right. You're going to lose the money one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And I guess if people understood that, because, you know, you say, I can't afford to tithe. And why can't you? Oftentimes it's because their money is going down the drain in other things.
Yeah, they're not being wise in managing.
Yeah, and so what happens as a result, it's really a curse because you're never going to have enough to make ends meet.
Right.
Where, like this whole zero credit
thing. Yeah, that's just what I thought of. That's interesting.
Yeah, it factors in to say, because see, if you're paying high credit percentage rates and, you know, interest rates.
Right. That's money disappearing.
It's worthless. It's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like 18 and 20%, 26%.
26?
I mean, it's like, what?
Yeah.
And people are paying that.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just throwing the money away. Mm. And so there's a whole difference that comes. I'll tell you what I like. I was thinking about this, and I didn't get to talk about this, but Haggai in the Old Testament mm-hmm. says in chapter 1, I think this is an interesting kind of passage. He said, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It is a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses or your nice houses mm-hmm. while his house remains a ruin. So assuming there's not enough to meet the needs of the church. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And so I think it's the same thing. It's like you're just never going to have enough if you don't get your priorities right about giving. Mm-hmm. When you get your priorities right about giving, there's a contentment, a satisfaction that you can't really find in other ways.
Yeah, and that almost makes me think of almost a curse of perspective, a curse of the disposition of your heart.
Sure.
I mean, you're clinging to things that are going to disappear on you.
Right.
Versus a joyful giver, which you talked about a lot yesterday.
Right.
Being free of that curse of materialism and money.
And I think that's really what we could call the curse. And if you want to use that term, but it's basically you're going to lose the money one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so instead of losing it resentfully to bills, why not give it joyfully and let God be your provider?
Yeah, which actually, so it's, we know we're called to give. Sometimes we are not excited, especially we're on the front end of that and we haven't seen or trusted God to show up in those miraculous ways in a lot of cases. And so we're reluctant to give, or maybe apprehensive is a better word. Is it wise to be, say, obedient in those situations and still give and expect the trust and the emotion to catch up later?
Oh, I think yes. And I think that if we depend on our feelings about everything, we'll never grow our faith. My faith grows because I have to put myself in a place where I didn't think that could happen.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could do that.
Yeah.
I can. I remember the first time Sharon and I really committed ourselves to giving in a capital campaign, which meant we were beyond our tithe. We were going to give a significant percentage to really toward the building program. And I can remember thinking, I don't think we can do that. But I just felt like God was saying, yes, you can. And you watch. And we went through it. We did it. And after it was said and done, I was like, wow, how did we do that? And it was almost like I couldn't imagine that we did, but we did.
Right.
So it's kind of freed us up to believe God can do all kinds of things that need to be in our lives. So I got this message, private message from someone, and they said this. They wanted to, you know, share this story with me, but they said, please don't use my name. So I'm not. It said, I will start by admitting that I have been skimping on my tithe. I've been putting it all in all but $21. I kept thinking, I'll have more money next week and I'll make it right up right then. Last week I was going in to put the correct amount in, but I used the excuse, but I already made the checkout beforehand. Lame, I know. Anyway, I have a side job that I do for a few days a week in addition to my full-time job. I wear boots for this job. Yesterday, one got a hole in it. I started looking online to see if I could find a good deal, but I finally gave up. Today, I put the correct amount of tithe in, except for $1. I thought that would look weird on my check. I figured it's only $1. That's close enough, right? After this first service, I went to the well for a cup of coffee with a family member, as I frequently do. I got my coffee first while she waited in a fairly long line. I figured I had a few minutes, so I'd look online at boots again until she came over. The web page was still pulled up and from last night, but it was on a different pair of boots. This pair was not only my favorite style, they were my favorite color. The website said they were on sale now and to click for the sale price, $19. It was the exact amount of money I'd added to my tithe minus the $1. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, God, I get it. I put the $1 in the tip cup before I left in the well because second service had already begun. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great. That's just great.
Yeah, that is too funny. I had a gentleman text me, and he said that when you talked about 2 weeks ago with the W-2s and all, when he began attending CWC, one of his coworkers actually pulled him aside and said, hey, you know, they ask for your W-2s there. No joke.
Oh, man.
So, oh my goodness, the stories that do come in.
I know.
But it's so much more about joyful giving.
Yes.
So, you know, I want to ask this. When it comes to post-tax, pre-tax, what principle do we follow?
I'm not legalistic on all of this. You know, my question, I always turn around, well, what do you want to be blessed on?
It's a great question.
And so they go, Oh, okay, I get it. So I just want God to be honored by all that I have.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because Sharon and I look at the end of the year when we do our taxes, mm-hmm. and she'll say, "Now we gave our tithe, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because when you add up everything and you see all these whatevers, I say, yeah, we're good. We're good. We tried to make sure it was above, and we're still really good. Mm-hmm. So I just think that for us, it's always been like just our heart's desire.
Yeah.
And then when there are needs, as I talked about, that I've always tried to set aside a little extra just to hold on for an offering. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there was a need that came up in somebody's life or a missionary that spoke and I wanted to help support or to give to a clean water and to wells, I always had that set aside. So I was prepared to be able to help in whatever way that God would want to use that. So it's just a blessing. And we've been blessed by it. And I guess that's my greatest goal, is to want others to know how God wants to bless them.
Right. And that's being wise with your money. You're preparing ahead of time for an opportunity that God's going to present you with.
Because it's going to come.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to come.
And I think that that kind of deals a little bit with maybe that expression of, well, it doesn't make sense how God did it, but it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just talk real briefly about kind of foresight versus hindsight on that?
Yeah. I always think that when you try to figure it out ahead of time, it's just like often that you think, I'm not sure how this can even do. But when our faith says, I'm going to trust God that he can do this, even when I don't know how that's going to work out.
Right.
It's amazing how God intervenes, provides, and uses whatever we have to bless us and others as a result.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah. And in hindsight, you can look back and say, wow, somebody was generous here and that made all the numbers add up.
I love hearing stories when people say it was the exact amount to the penny that God refunded or gave back or gave through someone or whatever.
Right.
I hear those stories. I've heard those so all my life over and over.
And I think it's important. We should be keeping track of that because that is a way to praise God by saying this is how he came through.
Exactly.
So, all right. What challenge do you want to leave listeners with as we wrap up?
I want people to not think about giving as money. I want them to think about it as a part of their spiritual development and growth in their faith. If we can look at it more about a faith journey and a trusting God kind of way instead of my finances, I think it can free you up to really experience what God wants you to experience. Mm. It's been such a joy to find out how God would work through giving to build my faith. Have had to do that and see that happen time and time again. I just saw my faith growing to believe God can do anything. And if I can trust him to believe he can supply my needs, which is easy for him, I can trust him then to answer the prayers that I'm offering for those who I want to see come to Christ and the ways that I want to see God work in true riches. So just think of it more of a spiritual journey and growth in faith.
Well, thanks for the insight, Pastor Arley.
Sure.
And thanks for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you are encouraged today. Join us next Monday as we conclude our series, Malachi. And if you missed last week's episode, you can access that online at cwc.life, where we provide you with sermon notes, weekly study material, and other messages to dive into. Have a great week.